Yeah.
But I do know that before I went to sleep last night, to wake up this morning, and that they're going to start filling up 100 blocks in a row, 200 blocks in a row. Now that's what's happening. Gas is going, like, just they're gassing it now, going clutch, going hard. 100 blocks of time full of pictures. 300 blocks of time full of pictures. That's 300 times 10. That's how much you have to wait in terms of minutes.
So
to process your digital brick.
I don't have much of my bag, let's say, in BTC, so it doesn't really bother me. But if I was sitting here and I had a big BTC bag, I would be a little worried that I wouldn't be able to move it. Who?
No, don't you? I mean, why would you, bro? I mean, don't you trust the Lightning Network?
No. No.
You see?
I never
the
have.
The small blocker narrative died. So, yeah, what's up?
Greetings, Cyphers. Welcome back to Anarchast, your home for anarchy on the internet. I will be Patrick Smith today. I have the Raphael with me. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
We are at
Anarchapoco, baby.
Anarchapoco. It is the time. And we're getting to do these on-location interviews, which are my favorite. You said you want to talk about hyper-Bitcoinization today.
Yes, correct.
What is that?
Hyper-Bitcoinization is the moment in time where the entire global market goes to the blockchain.
Okay.
And it's going to happen extremely fast, and we already begun. We're already in the path of it. I think we are in the... We're moving out of the second stage of hyper-Bitcoinization. First stage is the awareness of us having all of the building blocks for it to happen. That realization came into being about 2 months ago. Now we are in the space where we... No, we have all the constitutive makeup to make it happen. So awareness is the first stage. Second stage is
And you don't execution. You don't necessarily mean Bitcoin, like BTC specifically.
No, no.
You just mean crypto.
Well, Bitcoin BTC is part of it as a stepping stone.
Right.
And so ordinals is part of the process of hyper-Bitcoinization. You've heard of ordinals and what's happening with BTC?
No.
So ordinals has been... I'm going to be very honest with you because your audience deserves nothing more than honesty. So as you know, BTC was a PSYOP where they turned the Bitcoin protocol into a surveillance network through a layered approach that now the BTC network is dependent on externalities just like any bank sir would want, right? So the health and the wealth of the network does not come no longer from within BTC, but it comes from without. And it's dependent on these externalities that are run by lizards, right? Banks. So it's really, if you look at the history of BTC, BTC is the PSYOP within Bitcoin history led by Bilderberg and MasterCard. And it is literally very well documented.
So and it may not have started out as a PSYOP, but
no,
it was probably like captured for sure.
I think it was captured for sure. I think dates to keep in mind were like in 2015 when MasterCard... literally invested in Digital Currency Group.
Yeah.
So the way that this worked, guys, is that the whole point of it all was to move you away from the Bitcoin blockchain and for you to be dependent on the externalities that they control. So just the real threat to them, and I would talk about it from a business perspective, is the fact that Bitcoin is the perfect manifestation of triple entry accounting. Triple entry accounting is where the triple entry is the cryptographic receipts shared by all on chain. The mathematical design, the topological design that best is conducive to cooperation, efficiency, and cost effectiveness is the blockchain itself because it's two hops away. You're two hops away from being connected to everyone in any form of human cooperation. So the old school model of doing business comes from dual entry accounting, and that is the birthplace of what we know of as the corporation. With Bitcoin, the corporation dies because now we work for Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the business that we all work for. No matter what business you have, it will never outlive the blockchain. So in order for these for the legacy power structures to remain in power, they had to PSYOP Bitcoin from within and lead Bitcoins out of the blockchain and its power. So that's why you started hearing the rhetoric of making sure that the capitalist productive power is limited within Bitcoin itself. And that literally was paid for by a self-professed agent by the name of John Dillion. And these emails were leaked as he was talking to a Bitcoin programmer called Peter Todd. This is all in the ether now. Everybody knows this. But obviously, they try to silence this. But so look up a conversation that was verified by Peter Todd himself and Gavin Andreessen, who's the guy that Satoshi left in charge, where this character by the name of John Dillion kind of threatens Peter Todd into forcing his hand into creating the auctioning process on BTC called Replace by Fee. John Dillion also led the propaganda for limiting the capitalist productive capacity of Bitcoin miners to 1 megabyte by funding the creation of the first propaganda on YouTube for this PSYOP. So what's happening now is that Bitcoiners, like myself, have never given up on Bitcoin and its fullness. And so we see that we have the ability to... They left a hole open. The Bitcoin structure itself allows us to do everything we want, really. It allows us to engage with computational power in a way we've never seen before. It allows us to engage with big tech and data itself in a way that not even Google, Facebook, or Amazon are capable of. Because we can use proof of work to protect our data in a way that is capitalist-driven, as a meritocracy of value where we use proof of work to protect big data. So we take away that monopoly from them where now everyone can compete. So what's happening with ordinals is that the big blockers of Bitcoin, like myself, we are simply waging a war with art, and we are filling up the BTC blockchain with pictures right now. One picture of 4 megabytes fills up the entire BTC blockchain, and as we are talking right now, they will be doing now minting series of 100, 200, where every 100 blocks are going to be completely full. And guys, we're just doing art and having fun. We're following the rules of the game. And guess what we just did? We completely...
DDoSed. It sounds like a DDoS.
No, we're just doing art. We're just doing art. We love art. And now, and within a matter of 48 hours... Everybody in Ethereum, everybody in Solana, everybody in BSV started running BTC full nodes. Oh, I wonder why. What happened, guys, is that the small blocker narrative has been done with. It's Bitcoin core narrative, it's over. It's done. That MasterCard investment, that Bilderberg investment is over. It's done. It's done. It's the cat's out of the bag. Now everybody in BTC is looking to this capacity within BTC itself. So the whole narrative of that Bitcoin is digital gold, digital cash, that we must use the Lightning Network to scale, that we need to depend on these externalities, all of that is dead. That narrative died. The small blocker narrative died.
How? What killed it?
Art on the blockchain.
Okay, so isn't this highlighting an important weak point in open source software?
No,
That it can be captured in this way and
no,
turned,
not at all.
Why not?
Because actually, the opposite is true. If anything, it shows you the strength of the Bitcoin protocol in its original design at scale. That Bitcoin in itself is almost like a mathematical symphony that adds up to the protection, security, and growth of human creativity and value. And you can't stop that. And what these people, funded by AXA, the guy leads Bilderberg and MasterCard, what they did, they tried to shut down Bitcoin. And the whole PSYOP that I explained, they put a lot of money, a lot of effort into telling people that they should only focus on the bit aspect of Bitcoin. I'm sorry, the coin aspect of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. They just wanted everybody to focus on the coin aspect of Bitcoin. But I'm sorry, Bitcoiners like me, renegades like myself, will never give up on Bitcoin. And we're completely embracing the fullness of what Satoshi gave us, all of the opcodes, and we've embraced from day one, and we still are to this day, the bit aspect of Bitcoin. It's computational power. And so, we right now are using BTC as a sandbox. Now BTC is our sandbox. Because BTC, by its name, reputation, and network effect, gives us a good understanding of how the world that is going to come to the real Bitcoin in less than 24 hours, it's going to happen. We're just, BTC right now is just a sandbox for big block Bitcoin BSV. And I'm just, that's the honest truth.
Why for Bitcoin and not move to one of these other coins that maybe have better tech, better privacy?
Because Bitcoin, in spite of it being the first technology for a truth ledger, an honesty machine, a book that can never be burned, and a system that can never be censored, we need an honesty network, and that was the genius of Satoshi, okay? Bitcoin serves a purpose in that we are going to, no matter what happens in this world, we're still going to have a public space, right? You can have your privacy. I'm all for privacy. The crypto vigilante world offers, we love privacy. But there's still going to be a place for dialogue, a place that's public. And for these public applications, that is what Satoshi created Bitcoin for. Is for us to be able to cooperate peacefully in a way that is truly decentralized. And when you have true decentralization, comes from something that is market driven, not centrally planned. And so, in spite of it being the first, Bitcoin as a public truth machine is still the best. What happened to us, Patrick, what happened to us is that they used our own libertarian arguments against us.
How?
Well, they know very much. They watch us. They see what we're doing. They know we don't like the Fed. They know we are all about end the Fed, Ron Paul. So when they saw Bitcoin, they made us focus on just one aspect of Bitcoin, which is the money aspect of Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
in order for us to end the Fed. But in reality, Satoshi gave us something a lot more important, bigger. And that's something that they try to keep away from us. But a lot of Bitcoiners like myself were like, let me explain to you what that bigger thing is. The bigger thing is that, yes, you need to end the Fed, but you must also acknowledge that the future of all financial institutions are technology companies. The real, even the dollar itself, over 94% of it is digital. The real manipulation of wealth no longer is at the Federal Reserve. Even the Federal Reserve only has the power it has because of this one thing that I'm about to tell you. It's the monopoly of information. The greatest resource of wealth that we have is in our minds, is our creativity, is who we are as people. It's our thoughts, our information, our data, our big data. And that is the biggest source of wealth in the planet right now. Our minds. And they're mining our minds through social media. You open up Facebook, you open up Twitter, anything that these, you know, reptiles run on the back end, and they're literally watching your facial expressions through the camera. And they're seeing how your micro expressions react to different things that they put in front of you. And they are learning about you. They're mapping your face, and they're learning exactly what it is that you like. Every swipe, every millisecond that you stay looking at a post, okay? That is really their source of control. So, what Satoshi gave us is much more than coin. So, the coin aspect of Bitcoin, and I'm quoting one of my analysts at the Crypto Vigilante, Mr. Z, fucking brilliant dude, and this is what he said when he started realizing this. He's like, oh, wow, Raph. And this is how he described it. The coin aspect of Bitcoin, Satoshi and his wisdom, their wisdom, they saw that Bitcoin needed a fuel. And that fuel, they had to come from within Bitcoin itself. Because this monster of a Bitcoin thing could not get fuel from without. The world as it exists would never give Bitcoin the fuel that it needed to grow. So embedded within Bitcoin is this economic incentive structure of aligned incentives to orient us towards a meritocracy of value that we see in Bitcoin miners, right? And it is that same game theory that miners have with each other, where the best miner is the miner who cooperates best with other miners. Guess what? When we build on-chain in Bitcoin, the best way to build on-chain is open source and interoperably. because as a Bitcoiner, I mirror miners as a Bitcoiner entrepreneur, and I want to help you out as much as possible. What do you need, fellow Bitcoiner? Because your success is my success, and we leverage off each other's success. And every tool that I create and my friends create on Bitcoin's original design are open source, interoperable, and on-chain, because the corporation died with Bitcoin. Okay? This is triple entry accounting. The blockchain killed the corporation. We work for Bitcoin. Bitcoin is, per se, the company, if you want to say it like that. No matter what business we create on-chain in Bitcoin, any business, any corporate structure, it will die eventually, and the blockchain, the Bitcoin blockchain, will live on. So the smartest thing to do for us, again, is to build on-chain interoperably and open source, and we invite everyone else to do that. And when smart people start coming into BSV, Bitcoin's original design, and they start building, they're going to see our tools and they're going to build on top of it. And it's this open source ethos that is just going to... Nothing's going to be able to compete with this.
Okay.
So what's happening in BTC is the second step of hyper-Bitcoinization, where people get excited for finally seeing a little bit of Bitcoin's computational power. People that don't know anything about this, that were not around during the Bitcoin Civil Wars, and they just rush to BTC because they see, wow, Bitcoin's waking up, and then they're going to run into a wall that these central planners impose on that version of the Bitcoin network, a wall of 4 megabytes. And they're going to look around, and in the meantime, what we did in Bitcoin's original design is that now we don't need exchanges anymore. Let me tell you the next step of hyper-Bitcoinization. Next step of hyper-Bitcoinization is that when people look around, they're going to see that onboarding is for free now. We fixed the onboarding problem. Because in Bitcoin's original design right now, as it stands...
By onboarding, do you mean...
No need to buy Bitcoin to use
fiat?
Bitcoin.
Oh, okay.
No need to trade your dirty fiat for Bitcoin.
Okay.
No. So what we do now is, it costs 1/300th of a penny to post on Bitcoin's original design, BSV. 1/300th of a penny to mint an NFT, meaning that I can, with $300, that gives me... I just subsidized 20,000 NFTs on chain, meaning that I can invite the entire world of the artist and say, use Bitcoin's original design for free, and you trade your creativity for Bitcoin. No longer do you need a KYC AML exchange. No longer do you need any third party. You bring your own creativity. You could be anonymous. Give your gift to the world on chain for free and get paid in Bitcoin.
I don't know much about BSV either. I stopped following the BCH wars. What happened with BCH? What's the status there?
So BCH to me was, they fell for the PSYOP and they just focused on the coin aspect of Bitcoin. And they tried to better it. But they, again, I think Bitcoin Cash really fell hard for the PSYOP because they in a sense wanted to focus on the coin aspect of Bitcoin so much, which was a very honest endeavor, but they completely ignored and did not care for the computational power of Bitcoin.
When you say computational power, like, give me a couple specific examples of what you could do with it. The store art.
Store
bits on chain. Okay.
Any type of smart contract from Ethereum is
okay.
Possible on Bitcoin's original design.
Okay.
Anything you've seen in any other blockchain. Okay, I'll give you an example. So Bitcoin's original design, the UTXO model, is something else that these lizards hated. Because the UTXO model does not change the global state of the network after every movement on the blockchain. Whereas in Ethereum, that uses the account-based model, every time something happens in Ethereum, it changes the whole global state of the network, meaning that Ethereum is more like a bus station, that the more passengers that you get, imagine if you own this bus station, the more passengers that you got as clients, you have to build a bigger bus. Every time we need to fit more passengers, take the bus to the shop and make it bigger. That's insane. That's crazy. That's not how you scale. That's the account-based model of Ethereum. What Satoshi gave us is known as parallel scaling or horizontal scaling, meaning that you own a bus company, but you get more clients, and what you do is you simply just buy another bus. You buy another bus. You buy another bus. Just buy a bus.
What does that mean in technical terms?
That we can scale With the same rate as Google, Amazon, and Facebook in Bitcoin's original design.
Okay. With like BSV mining is what you're talking about.
A Bitcoin mining, yes. Okay. Correct. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And
What's the mechanism for that? So the miners mine multiple blocks at the same time, or what?
So the miners...
How does the bus analogy fit to the miners?
The miners just, since there are more of them, they just clear out the entire mempool at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And the computational power itself, just you would have to buy hard disks themselves, computers themselves, to compute, right? Because mining itself, it just does the hashing, just does the proof of work itself. So... we are at the cusp of this really accelerating, and so the objective has been accomplished. The objective was to kill the small blocker narrative. It's dead. How the hell will Peter Todd or any of these guys ever sell back to their audience that Bitcoin is just digital gold, that you hodl and do nothing with it? It's dead. That rhetoric is gone. Right now, people that are in BTC, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened in Bitcoin, BTC itself, is ordinals, what's happening right now. And it's only going to grow.
So you have people that are actually going to be maxing out the BTC blocks?
It's happening right now, okay, as we speak. And it's only going to get bigger. And we're creating marketplaces on BTC. All of a sudden, us big blockers became BTC devs overnight.
And the point of that is to slow it down, to annoy people, to what?
We're just having fun and doing art on chain.
But what's the point? Like, from an activist angle...
I already told you. We already reached the objective.
How is
we
that?
We killed the small blocker narrative.
Okay.
It's dead.
Okay, so it's really...
it's a psychological hack, per se.
You're wanting to interfere with BTC so that people look at other options?
It's already been interfered with. There's nothing... I don't have to do shit. People are going to mine... we're about to start doing music on the BTC blockchain.
To the end of slowing down people's ability to do transactions so that they look at other options. To highlight the weakness in the BTC algorithm.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
And so what if they just bump the block size? I mean...
The thing is that they have no other option now. The thing is that we are all big blockers
They bump the block size and you win.
Because now they're playing in my territory. Right. They're playing in the big blocker Bitcoin territory. And all I have to do is just move everything that I built on BSV to BTC. If they were smart enough, that's what they would do. And they would compete with us. But the fact is that we are 10 years ahead of them in understanding Bitcoin's computational power, where they have been expending their time on dead ends, leading people to literally enslavement networks like the Lightning Network that they impose on the people of El Salvador, which is nothing more than a banking 2.0, actually worse, because they're pretending to be cypherpunks, and it's just a mass surveillance network for centralized liquidity. So
I have a friend working on developing stuff for Lightning right now, so I want to know more about that.
I'm sorry about what your friend's doing. I feel bad for him.
I was never bullish on Lightning. I thought you're trying to bolt on a solution to something that should have been
super easy.
So tell me, though, specifically, like, why do you say those things about Lightning?
Because it's so think about the internet right now and how easy it is to get, like, quote unquote, hacked, and all we do is send information, valuable information, right? But now imagine a mesh network, right? That's what the Lightning Network is. But now you're sending what they claim to be Bitcoin, because I don't even call what they transfer in their Bitcoin. It's simulation BTC,
mm-hmm,
okay, which has value.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that the architectural design of this network is one where you don't have finality. You don't know when you'll have finality. It can be 50 hops, 100 hops, 2 hops. So there's no way of routing these transactions. Remember when I mentioned that the architectural design of Satoshi gave us is mathematically the most perfect design for a network, because they were 2 hops away through the blockchain to be connected to everyone? Mm. We don't need a central planner to oversee our transactions. The blockchain itself secures the finality and the routing of transactions just by using 2 hops. I send money to you, which is at the same time sending it, registering it to the Bitcoin network. 1 hop, 2 hops, everybody has it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Lightning Network is like, bro, you know? And on top of that, they lied to people and said, well, Lightning can give us privacy. That's even worse, because imagine, are you going to trust an anonymous node on Tor when they can just, like, steal your Lightning? So you're opening...
Or publish who you are or where you came
from.
Dude,
you're literally opening yourself up to, like, all forms of Sybil attacks with the Lightning Network. And it's never going to work. And look, at the Monero community because Monero people are honest small blockers that agreed 100% with BTC. And Monero people, Pirate Chain people were like, Monero people were like, yes, we should focus on the coin aspect of Bitcoin. That is very important. And everyone in the libertarian world were like, yes, you're right. It is the most important thing. And the Fed, we need privacy by default in order to have fungible digital currency. Yes, we must have that, correct. BTC lies to people till this day and said, well, not anymore because we killed their narrative. Oh, but Bitcoin, BTC is private. And we have the Lightning Network, which is private. And we have Whirlpool, which makes it private. All these optional private features that are not private at all. And then what happened was that the real honest people from those crews were like, nah, dude, you guys are like, it's never going to happen on Bitcoin, be honest. And actually, they agreed with me like a big blocker, like, that's never going to happen. So what did they do? They started from scratch with Kryptonote, with Monero. So that's why Daniel Kim, Dr. Daniel Kim says wisely, people buy BTC thinking that they bought Monero. That's what, so BTC tried to destroy Bitcoin and then lied to people until recently, still been lying to people, that BTC is more private than Monero.
Who says that?
Do you want me to name them? Andreas Antonopoulos, Mark Moss.
Really?
Tone Vase.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
They're creeps now, bro. Like, I can't
really?
Believe. Yeah, man. I can't fucking believe it, bro. Like, these guys, they say things like, oh, well, it's just that BTC has a bigger network. So, since there's more people in BTC, it's actually more private. Like, they give you such fallacies, man. Literally, that's their argument. More private than Monero.
Mm.
That's such a fallacy, dude. That's horrible. I can't believe that these people are even saying that. But that whole small blocker narrative died already. We don't have to worry about that anymore because we are using their own chain as an example of real Bitcoin, of Satoshi really gave us, and it opens up the conversation again. Well, obviously, BTC is not efficient to be digital gold and digital cash. Then what is? And if you add the premise from that comes from honest early Bitcoiners that went on to create Monero, that is, if you want digital gold, digital cash, you must be fungible and private by default at the protocol level. Therefore, if what you guys were selling the world as BTC is truly Monero, then we should expect a giant rise in the price of Monero in the next couple months when they start realizing that they were lied to.
Mm-hmm.
The people that bought BTC thinking that they bought Monero will be going to Monero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then everybody, and then since we exposed BTC and we killed the small blocker narrative that the Bitcoin protocol can do more, then people will be going to other alternatives.
What is it costing to fill these blocks with art? Is it something that's sustainable?
Yeah, it was costing around $20 when it started, and then last night I was looking at it. I think it's like $800 right now.
Whew. Per block that you need to
fill the block. Yes, yeah. To fill the block is $800. So if I want to mint a series, $800. So
how many blocks are you successfully filling? Like, what percentage?
Me?
Or not you specifically, but people doing this art thing. Are you getting, like, 10%, 50%, 80%? Do you have any idea?
You know what? I've been an anarcho-political dude, and
sure.
I fall behind. This is happening so fast. I keep falling behind on news and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do know that before I went to sleep last night, to wake up this morning, and that they're going to start filling up 100 blocks in a row, 200 blocks in a row. Now that's what's happening. Gas is going, like, just gassing it now, going clutch, going hard. 100 blocks of time full of pictures. 300 blocks of time full of pictures. That's 300 times 10. That's how much you have to wait in terms of minutes.
So
to process your digital brick.
I don't have much of my bag, let's say, in BTC, so it doesn't really bother me. But if I was sitting here and I had a big BTC bag, I would be a little worried that I wouldn't be able to move it. Who?
No, don't you? I mean, why would you, bro? I mean, don't you trust the Lightning Network?
No. No.
You see?
I never
the
have.
Small blocker narrative died. So, yeah, what's up?
So, if people wanted to help, where should they go? Where can they find
Monero? Oh, very, very simple, guys. All you have to do is just drag and drop on ordinalsbot.com. You don't even have to run a Bitcoin full node anymore. I mean, this just started, and people have to, like, people from Ethereum, Solana, BSV, they all became BTC devs all of a sudden, right? Because it's the coolest shit now. So they're like, obviously, let's be honest, it's a dual purpose, right? It's obviously to, you know, have fun and
agitate.
Then have fun in another way.
Yeah.
So they had to run a whole Bitcoin node, a full BTC node in order to do this. But now, ordinalsbot.com, you don't have to do that. You just drag and drop, pay the miner, and go.
So are you getting these blocks in by mining blocks, or are you getting these blocks in by just submitting them to the cache and then, I don't know, have a high
transaction
fee? Or
yeah, you just pay a transaction fee.
Okay.
Pay your way into the network. So I think the BTC blockchain is going to be a very slow, rare and exotic of blockchain of fine art. That's what BTC is going to be.
Slow and exotic blockchain of fine art.
Think about it this way, guys. Think of New York City with no museums, okay? Imagine New York City with no entertainment. New York City with people all around. There's no nightclubs, no bars, no movies, no theater, no museums, no galleries, nothing. No entertainment whatsoever. And one day, somebody said, I'm going to open up a nightclub. What happens in that nightclub?
Everyone shows up.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's exactly what's happening on BTC. For the first time in 14 years, that version of the Bitcoin protocol, which is, I mean, they destroyed their version of the Bitcoin protocol, but let's call it that chain of digital signatures. For the first time, it gathered a lot of people. It became a fucking metropolis. And we just opened a nightclub.
Yeah.
That's all we did. Oh, we can have fun here? Yes, actually, Satoshi gave us the means to have a lot of fun. A ton of fun. Dude, you, like, the shit
what's
that...
What's the name of the website again?
Ordinalsbot.com.
Ordinals.
Ordinalswallet.com.
Ordinals wallet.
Ordinals.com.
Okay.
And there's also... Dude, there's going to be marketplaces right now.
Why is it called Ordinals? What's that from?
It comes from, like, something with math and numbers. I don't know, some shit. The way that it was...
Okay.
I'm just having fun.
No, yeah, that's
I'm
fine.
Just having
yeah.
fun. I don't know.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, don't, yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
There's a bunch of stuff we can talk about.
All right, what's next?
Well, we are going... I mean, if you got to go, we got to go, right?
But I'm not in a hurry.
All right, cool, man.
I thought you had to go.
I was giving you an out. An out? No. Patrick, I'm here with you. You know, thank you for everything that you've done and your shows. And, I know Liberty Community really... enjoys watching you, and I really want to thank you for you're a great host, man.
It got a little contentious in my past couple shows because I was challenging some people in what they believed, but
okay.
But turns out after the fact, a couple of people I challenged, they were okay. They did okay. They were fine with it. Some of the people weren't okay with it, weren't fine with it, and look, guys, I cannot be other than who I am, and if you're looking for a different host, then you're not going to find it. I'm not going to fake it. To make y'all happy, we're gonna have conversations that I want to have. So
cool.
That's how it's got to be, you know.
So yeah, so hyper-Bitcoinization is here, guys, and we can be living in a post-hyper-Bitcoinization world within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy, but I know it's now possible, and we have a formula for hyper-Bitcoinization. We know how to get there. You want me to give it to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so the formula for hyper-Bitcoinization is the following. Number one, how do we build? We build on-chain, interoperably, and open source. Is that... Do you need me to explain
that?
Yeah,
we got... Well, I think okay. We got that, yeah.
Okay. What do we build? Is the next question, right?
Yep.
We have to build applications that have the three of the following... they all have to have this in their... Whatever application is. It has to have the positive dopamine experience. A positive dopamine experience, not one that is conducive to enslaving people.
Yeah, I got you.
But one that is positive. We have to also, number two, have an open order lock for on-chain exchanging so that what happened with FTX never happens again. With every block of time, we can prove reserves.
Yeah.
Okay? And all of these applications. And number three, we need to have we need to clean the internet through a noise to signaling machine, because what's happening right now, this is how we combat the problem of AI, okay? This is the third thing. That we have to build. It's actually already been built. Okay,
and it's what problem of AI are you referring to?
Noise and manipulation. So we live in a world where they're trying to make people into zombies addicted to the dopamine of social media so they can track and trace them and profile them and manipulate them. So AI, ChatGPT, all it is a noise-creating machines for them to better track and trace you, to better profile, to better manipulate you, to better learn you.
So you're saying they're going to like use AI to give you a feed that's more addictive to keep you looking so they can keep monetizing your eyeballs.
Of course, yeah. Of course. It's just more noise. So then the question is, like, how do we get actual signal, like positive signal? You're at Anarchapulco. Anybody here at Anarchapulco, anybody that's a libertarian to me, is someone that has passed many intelligence tests in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They're highly intelligent people. They passed many intelligent tests, and they're here. So, but it's to get here, you don't get this signal on CNBC. You don't get it on the front page of Reddit. You don't get the libertarian signal because it is a costly one to get, number one. And it's a signal that the noise of the establishment wants to drown. So we have a problem of noise to signal, okay? So how do we better the noise to signal ratio, okay?
Lower the noise, raise the signal.
Exactly. But how do you do
it
that?
Takes both.
Okay, but how do you do that? Because if you are aiming for eyeballs to screen, if you have an upvoting system that you would say, well, that's a democratic way of getting an honest signal. You actually know because you can Sybil attack that. The back end of Reddit.com is being upvoted by bots and the manipulators of Reddit. And at the front page, supposedly the front page of the internet, you're seeing what they want you to see. But they're giving you the illusion that this is a democratic process of upvoting. So upvoting can be Sybil attack. So upvoting is not a way to fix the noise to signal ratio. Okay?
It also gives you the echo chambers that you get on Reddit.
It gives you echo chambers, and it just it gives you a means to get manipulated if you believe that upvoting works, like on Twitter or Facebook, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It gives you an illusion. So, all right. So that's the first thing that we saw on the internet as a way to, which was a whole complete psyop of bettering the signal to noise ratio. Okay, number two, people within BSV, Bitcoin's original design, were like, well, how about if we, for every like...
For those that don't know, BSV stands for Bitcoin Satoshi's Vision, right?
Yes, correct. And it's an objectivist network. They are not... It's a network that sees the world as it is. It's a network that is not anarcho-capitalist. It's objectivist, very Randian. And
oh, really?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, I didn't know it was Randian.
So for them... So for overall...
And by that, you mean the team working on it is?
That there is no team. Because it's a fixed protocol. Okay. You don't fuck with the Bitcoin protocol.
Okay.
Bitcoin Cash and BTC fucked with the rules of the game.
So how is it objectivist then? Like, who's objectivist? Just the people that created it?
No, it's just that there's a very strong objectivist current of philosophy running within it.
Okay.
And the biggest distinction between an objectivist and an anarcho-capitalist is where they emphasize...
One good conversation.
What's their emphasis for private property? So for the... For us, anarcho-capitalists, the locus and the most, the thing we emphasize most, our emphasis for private property is physical private property. For the objectivists, their emphasis of private property is intellectual property.
Right.
Yeah. That is really the big difference.
No, there's two. There's two. I mean, they differ on the state as well.
Correct,
you
yes.
know, they're minarchists.
So. Yes, exactly.
Rand was a minarchist that believed in intellectual property, and
yes.
no amount of conversation can usually change their mind, unfortunately. But yeah,
but
somebody like me would make the argument successfully, I think, that cryptocurrency is not a valid form of property; it's a value trading network.
Okay,
and they would disagree with that fervently.
Correct, and that's why people within BSV are caught up in all these lawsuits, like with Craig Wright, and they're getting sued by Meta. Facebook.
Who is? People
involved in Craig Wright. More of the boomers in BSV, really. Like the older cats that, that's another can of worms. We didn't even talk about that. It's pointless, really. But they're Randian.
Mm-hmm.
Very Randian. My crew within BSV, we're all anarcho-capitalists.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand the Randian approach. The Randian approach has its place within Bitcoin because we still live in a world of government law, and the older cats within BSV, that network, they're engaging that world, which I respect that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and yes, they're embracing government law because Bitcoin is not a private by default network, and there is this world of violence that comes from governments. So, hey, somebody's got to deal with that shit. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean that they're dealing with it or engaging with it? Are they
Because when
forming companies that
they're holding on to the corporate structure, their Randians, okay. their minarchists, yeah.
Filing yeah. their reports and all that stuff.
Yeah, right. correct. Yeah. Also, they are all about patents and patenting things as good Randians that they are. So,
oh boy.
So
they're making it harder on the rest of us, is what I'm hearing.
Well, not the rest of us, actually. All of a sudden, Facebook, Twitter, and all of big tech got together and they formed the Crypto Open Patent Alliance, and they're going after these guys from BSV that got all the patents.
Oh, they want BSV in their alliance so they don't have to pay.
No. They want the Bitcoin original design, computational aspect of Bitcoin, the bit aspect of Bitcoin that I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to be accessible and free for them to use in their big tech platforms. So Zuckerberg cannot create the shit that he wanted on which is like the Web3. Everybody talks about Web3. No one knows what the fuck to do with Web3. The real Web3 comes from Bitcoin. And so what these guys, you know, Craig Wright and his crew, what they're doing is that they're saying you can use our technology, but on the BSV blockchain. From an anarcho-capitalist perspective, I know the value of Bitcoin's original design, and what I foresee is that when hyper-Bitcoinization happens, they're not going to have to enforce any patents because you'd be dumb not to build on Bitcoin's original design. Who the fuck in the world is going to want to build outside of Bitcoin's original
design? What kinds of stuff are they patenting? Because that might lock it up from being used in a better chain in the future if BSV starts making bad decisions.
Well, they were not the first ones to start patenting, actually. Alibaba, IBM, Amazon, they were all started patenting these technologies.
I mean, but what are they locking up behind government guns?
Nothing that you can't use for free on Bitcoin's original design. I don't know, man. There's like hundreds of patents, bro. Like, okay. I can't give you a list. EnChain, go look up EnChain, guys. EnChain, if you're interested in that, I really don't care. I think this is a conversation that leads to nowhere, because in a post-hyper-Bitcoinization world, you're not going to have... no one's going to be challenging these patents because it's going to be impossible to build anything effectively outside of it.
Yeah, but that's the same logic that you get with, like, vote for a Democrat and give them all these powers, thinking that a Republican will never take office. What if BSV gets captured someday and we need to build a different blockchain that uses the patented text that BSV has locked up? Like, that's I'm just challenging
you. To me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter at all because the technology that is pertinent to that comes from the patents is technology that can only be done on BSV. Does that make sense? So
okay.
So you can't do it anywhere else right now. Now, what's happened is that people, for example, Monero. Monero is a completely different network, a completely different design. Monero has nothing to do with this.
Okay, I don't know.
Monero is completely different.
I don't know the patents in question,
yeah, exactly,
so this
yeah.
might not be a valid question.
I'm just giving you that as patents
worry me, man. They patents fuck up the tech industry every time they get involved, everywhere. So it makes me worried.
I mean, sure, I agree with you, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, this conversation like goes nowhere because whether they patented these things or not, Amazon, Google, Alibaba, all of these legacy big tech companies were patenting all of these exact technologies, and so. Either people from within Bitcoin were to do it, or
well, that's a good counter
argument. It's just look, Matt.
If somebody's going to patent them, and they are, you want it to be somebody that you trust, at least for now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, but Bitcoin is not the only way of doing things. Like, if you look at what like Darrow is doing, Darrow is a big block network that is private by default, and they're accomplishing very similar things as BSV.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's and they're different. The technology is completely different.
Tell me about Darrow.
So Darrow is like the privacy Ethereum.
Yeah.
It's account based, and
I'm
they've
excited.
Been able to figure out how to scale the account based model. It's Darrow is another can of worms, man. that's a whole different conversation if you want to have that.
Okay.
But we were talking about the what to build.
Bitcoinization. Hyper-Bitcoinization.
Yeah, so the signal-to-noise ratio. So within Bitcoin's original design, within Bitcoin itself, we found that we have the answer to bettering the signal-to-noise ratio by means of using Bitcoin energy and using that energy to back up any content on the internet. Let me explain this to you. So remember what I said to you, that someone can, on the back end of Reddit, can make you think that these things were upvoted, so that's the first thing you see on Reddit? Mm-hmm. Then, remember I told you that Bitcoiners try to solve this by, big blockers like me try to solve this by sending like a penny per like. Mm-hmm. It was like a penny per like. So now, since we're using money for liking, it's going to be harder to Sybil attack to manipulate the network. But we could quickly realize that I can spin up 1,000 Twitch accounts, for example, and have one account that I choose as like, all right, that's going to be my Rockstar account. Anything that account I say within that account, I just upvote. I send pennies from all the other accounts. And so I make the network think that that one account of mine is very popular. I'm manipulating the network, and all I did was just send money to myself from 1,000 wallets to one wallet.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that system is not Sybil attack resistant. But it so turns out that Satoshi gave us the means to be Sybil attack proof when ranking content on the internet. How? Well, you probably heard of Michael Saylor talk about that Bitcoin finance, the coin aspect of Bitcoin is like a swarm of energy wrapped around protecting your transactions, right? That's how he describes it. So imagine that same like imagery to describe any content on the internet. So if you find something, this video, you found it very, very important, now you can wrap Bitcoin energy around it and vote using Bitcoin energy. The thing about Bitcoin energy is that it is provable waste. You'll never get back.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't send that waste to someone. I can't just send waste and like harness it elsewhere. No, dude, I spent the energy and I'm never getting it back.
Yeah, it is released as heat into the atmosphere.
Exactly, it's gone. So that's how we're ranking content on the internet. We discovered a new type of Bitcoin transaction and we call it Boost Proof of Work, Boost POW, for this new upvoting system of wrapping energy around any content on the internet, and it cleans up the internet because now the more you wherever the Bitcoin energy goes, the focus flows. For any smart actor in the market that pays attention, it's harder to Sybil attack something that regards energy that is wasted, right? Energy spent. And so when we started this experiment, so this is a new type of Bitcoin transaction. Let me.
Yeah.
So what we did is that we are mining from our laptops now. Bitcoin protocol. We don't need miners right now. This is fucking cool.
On BSV,
yeah. Because the new type of Bitcoin transaction, remember the analogy I gave you with the buses?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine that we discovered a village of midgets that want bus rides, but they have a lot of money, but we can't, like, they don't feel comfortable in the big bus, right? So what we do is that we make little buses for them. We put them in the, we fill them up once the little bus is full. We put them in the trunk of the big bus, the normal size. And then the bus sends it to the blockchain. So that's what we did. So Boost Proof of Work is midget mining. and so we're gonna get so many midgets of this new type of Bitcoin transaction. So cool. So still, obviously, the miners, the big ASICs, are the big buses, are the ones that earn the block reward.
Yeah.
But since we have this new type of Bitcoin transaction that we're hashing, that we're putting together, we're constructing on for these little buses, we get the transaction fees as miners for those little so we get the transaction fees.
It's like micro subdivided transaction fees. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Exactly. So we get the transaction fees. So anybody can mine Boost Proof of Work. Everything that we build is on-chain, open source, interoperably. If you want to see the API, go to pow.co/API. That's the API. All of our applications are on-chain. And let me tell you what
POW.API.
POW.co.
.co, sorry. /API.
Proof of Work Cooperative.
Okay.
POW.co/API. That's our API.
Okay.
And so we started thinking, okay, dude, like, Bitcoin's a brain, guys. And we're all synapses, nodes of this Bitcoin brain. And we have this means of activating the Bitcoin brain with Bitcoin energy by putting content in our communication with each other. So how does the Bitcoin brain actually jumpstart? How do we think? We think with questions. We ask ourselves questions. Our subconscious mind from our memory and imagination gives us answers. Okay, cool. So how about we start asking Bitcoin open-ended questions? Oh, how about if we allow for open-ended answers? Oh, askbitcoin.com. Try it out. That's exactly what it is. We're waking up the Bitcoin quote-unquote AI. Okay, so it's really fucking cool, dude. Do you want to fire up your phone right now? Go to askbitcoin.com and
sure.
Look at the questions that were asked.
If I have internet, we'll give it a shot.
Askbitcoin.com.
Askbitcoin.com.
Askbitcoin.com. So we're waking up the Bitcoin mind. Our AI, powered by proof of work. Which is the opposite of what these lizards are giving us, because their AI is proof of stake.
Okay.
It's just more noise. Deep fakes.
What are you going to do? Questions in the last hour? What?
Last 24 hours. Yeah, last day is cool. Go to last day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's ranked by time. So, like, there are some topics of conversation that are timeless, like philosophy, right? All time. Hylomorphism versus dualistic theory. Who was right? Aristotle or Plato, right? So you will be able to have those conversations, and so those answers will obviously, because we care as human beings about the answers to those questions and those deep philosophical questions, you're going to be able to ask them, and they're going to have be boosted throughout time. They're timeless. But there's things that are happening.
Okay, so this is like is this an AI or is this a social aspect?
No. So it's all anonymous.
Here?
It's all anonymous. And so somebody in the last, the most boosted question in the last 24 hours was, what do Bitcoiners need most right now? Let's see what the hive mind of Bitcoin intelligence answered. Okay?
Okay, so this is not AI. This is people having a conversation and voting it with their money.
With their no money.
No money.
Spent energy. Provable
okay.
waste.
Oh,
Bitcoin
okay.
energy.
Okay,
remember,
okay.
Okay. First top rated question was, most boosted answer was, pay attention more closely to the information associated with the Boost Pal Costly Signals at pal.co. Okay? And so I'm not even going to read the second answer. If you want, you can read it. But if you like it, you can boost it, you know?
All right,
cool. So check this out, Pat.
Interesting.
Yeah, so go back and, like, this is genius. All right, I want you guys, please, we need... Okay, you guys have always talked about we libertarians need a meeting of the minds. This is it, okay? AskBitcoin.com. This is where we come together and we build together. We coordinate using proof of work energy. Bitcoin proof of work, guys. This is where we do it, okay? And so we started asking the question, what should we do next, Bitcoin? Bitcoin, what should we do next? And Bitcoin started giving us answers.
Okay.
And we were like, holy shit. And so we would listen to Bitcoin and do those and work on that, like develop this application. Bitcoin would be like, it would be great if Bitcoin developed this application on chain. So we would, within the next 24 hours, the fucking application was done. Boom! And then Bitcoin. And then what should we do, Bitcoin? And then Bitcoin would answer. And the whole time is very dynamic. Answers are being posted by whoever has ideas. And energy, Bitcoin energy is flowing to where we're the most valuable of ideas. And so, okay, very important point that I need everyone to pay attention to. Boost proof of work is not an oracle for truth. I repeat, it is not an oracle for truth. It is just a costly signal. Costly signals are honest ones. They're honest ones insofar as their honesty achieves its success the moment it gets your attention. For example, guy pulls up in a Lamborghini. Voom! Got your attention. It just, the costly signal of driving a Lambo is unnecessary. He could have gotten here in a Toyota. But this guy pulled up in a Lambo. It accomplished its goal the moment it caught my attention. Remember, eyeballs the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the manipulators get you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if we use proof of work energy, it's harder for them to manipulate us.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom, Lambo pulls up. It's not a locus of truth. It doesn't mean that, like, the dude owns a Lambo. It just means a dude pulled up in a Lambo. Now we must ask about the guy in the Lambo. Does he own the car? Does he work for a rental company? Is he just a chauffeur? Or is it really the Chad that drives in a Lambo whenever he goes to the coffee shop? You see?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's like, I'll give you another example. Girl, really hot girl. beautiful rack. Gets your attention. You still got to get to know the girl. Maybe she's crazy, right? All right, so you still got to get to know the girl, guys. Don't fall for the costly signal. So it gets your attention. We're just one attention. That's it. We just want. This is a new way, a new world of marketing is really what Boost Proof of Work is, all right? It's a new way of intelligent actors in the market to communicate with each other using provable waste, okay? Could someone put something, put energy onto something that is bullshit to get your attention? Yeah, they can do that, but they're going to lose their fucking money because other people that care about that topic of conversation will say the opposite and say, fuck you, no, it's not like that. And guess what? Energy goes, you know, it's going to be it's a place to get honest signals. So for this comes from the theory of biology called the handicap principle. The handicap principle was developed by Zahavi and a couple other evolutionary biological theorists after Darwin. And they said that this was the missing piece of the puzzle that Darwin missed, which is that animals spend energy and give themselves a handicap. Males do, men. In the animal kingdom, the males give themselves a handicap to signal fitness in the wild to the females. So think of the peacock. The peacock gives himself a handicap by having a beautiful tail. And he makes himself more vulnerable to predators. But he struts around the forest and the jungle saying, look at me, how fucking successful I am. And all the girls are like, damn, he's got a big ass tail, you know, like, pay attention. And that's all that mattered, you know, that he got the peahen's attention. Okay? And what we discovered is that Satoshi in his or their genius, they put the handicap principle embedded within the Bitcoin economic design where miners spend energy that they'll never get back in any rational participant in the market sees all of those leading zeros of spent energy and is like, what the fuck? What are these crazy computers doing here? Spending energy that they will never get back? There you go. You got your costly signal. You caught that person's attention. Now that computer scientist is going to say, what's really going on here? Why is it that there's people in the world of computer science spending energy that they will never get back? What's going on here? It already accomplished its mission. It could be that Bitcoin was, you know, it could be that some stupid person is just wasting energy for no reason, but it causes the person to look deeper and say, holy shit, there's a whole network here, and you can see the fractals of how this is an economic design, and there's this thing called proof of work, and there's a coin, and there's a computation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Computational power, this is a new internet, you know? So costly signals demand, just catch your attention, and once they catch your attention, that's all you do. So then we started asking Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin, what should we... We started talking to Bitcoin. What should we do next? And Bitcoin told us what to do, and we would do it. And then we kept asking, and that in itself became a whole new website called PowCo.dev. And so PowCo.dev is connected to GitHub, and it's soon going to be connected to GitLab, and all of our code is on-chain as well. So now our philosophy is that everyone in the world is a Bitcoin developer that is capable of contributing to the building of Bitcoin on-chain economy itself. How? You will be able to... Everybody, all you have to do is know how to use GitHub and not even know how to write code. All you got to do is this, guys. Learn how to do a GitHub commit. Write an issue. And say... I would like for this website to have the color of... It would be great if this button light up more, blah, blah, blah. And once you submit that commit, that automatically goes to powcode.dev. It takes it straight to powcode.dev. And then other Bitcoiners look at it, and if they see that as valuable, like, that's a very valuable suggestion. And, he's right. We should add that to that website. That's going to be given... Bitcoin energy, and it's going to rise to the top. So when Bitcoin developers wake up in the morning and they fire up their laptop and they see PowCo.dev, like, what should I work on today, Bitcoin? Bitcoin's already at the top, blinking at them, like, look at all this Bitcoin energy that was spent and getting your eyeballs. Bitcoin says that this is the most important thing you should pay attention to right now. And guess what we also did? We added Bitcoin bounties to every
commit. There we go. That was the next question.
Yeah.
How do you reward the devs for following what Bitcoin tells them to do?
So not only do the Bitcoiners get the attention of the devs using Bitcoin spent energy, but now they say, oh, damn, this is something that they really, really want. But maybe here is only like 9 Bitcoin. But the second one that got most attention, this one has 55 Bitcoin. Obviously, I'll go with the 55 Bitcoin. Or you know what? Actually, no, the community really needs the number one. They might not have enough money for that. And it's not that hard. 9 Bitcoin is not bad. I'll take the job. I'll take the job. It's what they need. And I'm collaborating and cooperating with my brethren. And, you know, we're leveraging off each other's success. So, yeah, I'll fucking take care of that. Mm-hmm. Guess what, Patrick? This shit took a life of its own, and we meet every fucking day at least once.
Your guys started this?
My crew of Bitcoiners, yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. The guy that discovered the Boost proof of work is the Emperor of Bitcoin himself, and the father of Bitcoin maximalism, and the father of hyper Bitcoinization. The guy that dubbed the term. Daniel Krawitz, the Emperor of Bitcoin.
The Emperor of Bitcoin.
You've met the Emperor of Bitcoin.
No, I haven't.
You've never met the Emperor of Bitcoin? I'm
going to
have him on your show, guys.
Let's do it.
Yeah, the Emperor of Bitcoin. And so this is his discovery. He's the one that dubbed the term hyper-Bitcoinization. And he's the guy who is literally the father of Bitcoin maximalism. He's incredible, dude.
Is he still a maxi?
A real Bitcoiner.
So like a BSV maxi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a real Bitcoiner.
Okay. Well, you like maxis usually just mean you're only BTC.
But those guys are done. Remember, I told you we killed their narrative with.
I knew they were done 10 years ago, man. I have not been.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
My bag has not been there.
Me too.
And I've gotten shit for that, but it's just so obvious.
Yeah, because you're smart.
Well, no. Like no. So look, technology. I'm a technologist, right? That's what I do for a living. A technology that doesn't iterate quickly dies quickly.
100%.
And there's something about BTC and the way it's set up. They just weren't keeping up.
They're
not iterating.
It was on purpose, man. They killed it on purpose. It was on purpose. They wanted to destroy Bitcoin, but guys like us and the Emperor, we were like, fuck no. Fuck no. We stand our ground, and we're going to fucking fight for Bitcoin's original design and everything Satoshi gave us. And that's the marvelous shit that I'm talking to you about right now, because these assholes is like having a baby. From heaven, fall. And the baby falls, and it starts growing. The baby starts growing, and the baby starts walking, and the small blockers are like, that's it. He's done growing.
Put it in a box.
You put him in a box. You cannot do anything else.
Lock the box.
All of this programming that he got from God to be able to speak, write, do literature, mathematics. You can't express those faculties, man. You're just meant to walk. Digital gold, digital cash. Oh, you want to do something else? We'll give you a crutch, little guy. Here. Externalities, Lightning Network, here. Externalities. Oh, what else you need? Oh, well, yeah. No, fuck you. Fuck you. No, the baby can talk. Bitcoin's talking to us now. Bitcoin is literally, we are all part of the Bitcoin brain. You watching this are a synapse in the Bitcoin brain, a neuron in the Bitcoin brain. We're nodes of this network, and we're communicating with each other, and we're using Bitcoin energy itself so that this network, this brain that is waking up, starts to connect and figure shit out. AskBitcoin.com. That's what we're doing, dude. It's fucking amazing. And everything we build is on-chain, open source, and interoperably. If you're watching this right now, if you're a developer, within 30 fucking minutes, you can create your own version of AskBitcoin.com. I want you to. I want you to grab the Boost API and build whatever the fuck you want with it. Because I'm a Bitcoiner. Corporations are dead. Bitcoin killed the corporation. No business that you create on Bitcoin or crypto will ever outlive the Bitcoin blockchain. Get that through your head. The small blocker narrative has been murdered this past week. Everyone in BTC is a big blocker now, whether they realize it or not.
They'll have to be.
They are now.
If they want to spend their
market forces,
if they
want
to spend their bits, they're going to have to be
it's
big blockers.
Done. And I'm telling you, the shit that we're doing in BSV, when people figure this shit out, guess what's going to happen? Just like the whole world right now is converging around ordinals, and everybody from Ethereum, everybody from Solana, everybody from BSV, became a quote-unquote BTC dev overnight, guess what's going to happen? So Boost Proof of Work is... Oh, guess what we did, man?
What?
So we grabbed all of the Bitcoin, the YouTube catalog, the entire YouTube catalog.
Yeah.
And we're putting it on the Bitcoin blockchain, and we're ranking all of the YouTube catalog using Proof of Work. It's called powstream.com. Fire it up, dude.
You're not storing the bits, are you?
No, storing links
to the videos.
The metadata of the video goes on chain.
Okay.
But in the future, if we want, we can put the whole video on chain. We could do that. But if its market demands it, we'll do that. So we're putting the metadata on chain, and we're ranking the videos using spent energy provable waste. So it's extremely enjoyable, dude. It's like you can remember a time before the internet, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, I'm like, dude, I can't wait for the internet, and I can imagine my mind expanding and growing and encountering new worlds and new ways of thinking and growing as a person, right? And what we got was this shit fucking lizard thing that manipulates you, tracks you, traces you, that robs you of your human dignity,
yeah,
and that just wants to turn you into a zombie of dopamine. So, like, no. Like, when you... Okay, fire up your YouTube and then fire up PowStream.com.
Okay.
And when you engage PowStream.com, dude, the you'll see what Bitcoin wants you to look at.
PowStream.com.
PowStream.com, bro. And we did the same thing with Spotify. So the entire Spotify... We don't use it as much, but the entire Spotify catalog is now available for us to rank using Proof of Work, and it's called Boostify.me.
We got a lot of homework to do, guys.
Boostify.
There's like 17 websites we got to go look at after this.
Yo, we even did something for like the MAGA crowd, for like the Trump.
Okay.
So we just did BoostPatriots.win.
Okay.
So we grab all of the fucking MAGA shit from the internet and put it in one place and have it ranked by Proof of Work. We're just having fun with this. We're just making... Literally, it was a point that we were doing like an application every day. Like, yeah. There's even now, like, this has branched out. There's now a... Now there is a fucking, the first music production company on chain called Geist, and they have daily meetings as well. So this is the what to build, right? We're still at the what to build. How to build, how do you build, on chain, open source, interoperably, what to build, has to have positive addiction of social media, but positive, dopamine. And the answer is Boost. I explained Boost.
Yeah,
Boost
signal to noise. Yeah.
Okay. And it has to have the open order lock of an on-chain exchange so that what happened with FTX never happens again. Has every block of time has to verify reserves, and we can interact on-chain. Okay? Okay. So now the next step is, how do we execute? I'm giving you guys this is the formula for hyper-Bitcoinization. We know how to build, what to build. Now, how do we execute in the market? We execute in the market by solving the onboarding problem. We already did. No need for exchanges. There's no need for you guys to use your dirty fiat and exchange it for crypto. What we did is that now, since every post on Bitcoin's original design is 1/300th of a penny, with $300, I can subsidize 20,000 NFTs. Or 6.4 million posts, I think the number was yesterday. 6.4 million posts. I think I have to look at the math here. Anyways, so
a shitload. It's all good.
So in other words,
yeah,
we can subsidize the onboarding for crypto, for Bitcoin. How? Because of the magic of microtransactions. This is what they try to steal from us with these assholes from BTC. That's why we had to murder their fucking narrative, like we did this past week with Ordinals. Because that was, you know, that was Bilderberg money. You know, that was MasterCard money.
Dude,
right?
As soon as this is over, I'm going to ask some people about what's happening with the Bitcoin blockchain. I want to see how this Ordinals thing is going.
They're getting mind fucked.
You got headlines yet? Are there headlines about this yet? Are you are you pissing people off yet?
I'm giving you the exclusive.
Oh, okay. Oh, nobody knows yet.
The only one that caught on to it right away was Jeff Berwick.
Okay.
He was looking at me like, you motherfucker. You took down BTC, didn't you? And I'm like... And so yesterday I opened up to my team, and you're getting the exclusive right now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to get this episode out tomorrow then.
Yeah. So look, man. Yeah, we're all big blockers now. The small blocker narrative died. And so the onboarding problem. So it has to be zero sats, zero gatekeeping, meaning you as an artist, you come into the Bitcoin blockchain and right away you engage with it with no money. You don't have to put any money in it. You just put your money, you put your art, whatever you want, for free on chain and get paid in Bitcoin.
Isn't somebody just going to post a bunch of shit and steal your money?
I don't care.
You know, waste your money, whatever.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah?
Dude, if 1/300th of a penny, you can use 1/300th of a penny and post as much shit as you want, by all means.
Yeah. But, they, I mean, they could automate it. And like,
I can't. Well, how many pennies do you
need? Waste all your money.
Yeah, how many posts are you going to make?
I'm just saying, somebody's going to automate it and waste all your money, right?
So, like, sure. How many posts? 600 posts would be 2 pennies worth for me? Okay, bro, yeah, sure. Yeah, have 2 pennies, motherfucker. Have fun. I don't think you're going to go past 600 posts. Oh, you want to do 1,000 posts? Okay, here's more pennies. By all means. Oh, you're just making the network more valuable. Thank you. You know? You're just processing transactions for the miners. Thank you.
Okay, we need an app that just takes one picture of him, transposes it into different colors, and posts it thousands of times.
Just do it.
Do it.
And so the next part of the execution problem, solution
yeah.
that we can follow,
yep.
is that the mint has to be the post.
Okay.
Okay? The mint has to be the post. No bullshit of like, I go to like do this and then blah, 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 and I have to. No, when you post something on these new applications, the mint has to be the post.
What do you mean by that technically?
It has to be easy.
Okay.
Every post on these new social media networks on Bitcoin's on-chain, every post is an NFT. So think of Facebook, and every post demands that there be an NFT. So the NFT itself, as you know, it is just a picture. But that is just the gate. The picture is the art, the gateway into where we're going. If he's going to sell a song tomorrow, hey, buddy, you want to play a song? Play a song for us, man, in the background. So you're going to sell a song. You can't. I'm not going to buy your song unless you have a cool picture, dude. If this is a blank page, try to sell it on Bitcoin, I'm not going to buy it. It has to be. You have to be as good of a quality of like display on the art for your NFT, for your art, because we already have music on chain with Jamify.xyz. You have to have good visuals as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's so many cool shit that's gonna happen, bro. We're gonna have like, okay. So the post has to be the mint, and the third part of execution is. Shit, I think I forgot. Give me a second. I gotta look at my notes.
I feel like you're giving your whole talk here.
I'm giving it. You guys need to.
He
know
is,
it.
Isn't he?
You guys need to know. You guys need to know this stuff. This is like extremely valuable. This is hyper-Bitcoinization, guys. And I want you guys, your Anarchast people watching, to be at the forefront of it. Because most of the world, it's just going to happen so fast that it's going to be. Do you see how like fast like FTX dropped to zero?
Mm.
It's going to be faster. And you how fast? Now, the entire world of crypto is moving into ordinals in BTC. Because of us giving, you know, starting to use Bitcoin as an art gallery, BTC as an art gallery. So, like, yeah, we did, bro. It's an art gallery, man. There's nothing wrong with that.
Is there
bro.
An explorer where I can see the art go by?
Yeah, bro, go to ordinals.com.
Oh, yes.
It's all there, bro. Just open it, fire it up
okay,
right now.
Okay,
look it up as we're talking. I'm looking at this.
I want to see the art gallery that is Bitcoin. Yeah, oh, my God.
Bitcoin is a gallery for rare art, ladies and gentlemen.
Ordinals.com? What
yeah.
was it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. It's a gallery for very, very fine art. It's a...
Oh, my God.
Yes,
seriously.
Sir. Yeah.
These are on BTC.
On BTC, yes, sir. Jeff was the first one to catch on to this shit. He kept saying, man.
What?
Yeah, bro.
17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6... This is like 20... Are these blocks?
Yes, sir.
Are these blocks that you have art in?
Yes,
or
sir.
Just... So you've had 20 consecutive blocks?
Yes, sir.
20... Dude, that's 200 minutes.
Yes, sir. We're all big blockers now. Welcome to the club.
Okay, somebody's got to be headlining this somewhere. Like
you are the fucking exclusive. I'm giving
Jesus
you the exclusive.
Christ, dude.
I'm giving you the exclusive, fucker.
I'm looking at it right now. This is not... Hold on.
All right, so check this out, dude. Okay. And this is the last thing that it's going to happen when you build these applications. So I say that there's no delay. Minting on the... So the post is the mint, all right? So how to execute? Again, number one was zero funded, a community funded, zero sats initiative, no gatekeeping, just bring your creativity and sell it for Bitcoin, BSV. Second, the minting is the post. And third, check this out, bro. Check out what we're doing.
I'm up to 60 blocks in a row.
Okay. So
are you telling me that nobody has gotten a fucking BTC transaction in 60 blocks?
I think those
like,
are...
What am I not... That can't be it.
Bro, I am not keeping it... I can't give you an accurate answer because I'm here talking to you. This is happening so fast.
I know. I'm just... I can fire up my phone
right now. You can see my boys having a rager talking and screaming at each other as we talk right now. Like,
okay.
Watch this.
I mean, I counted 60 consecutive blocks in a row.
Just go to Google. Just go to Twitter Spaces, man.
All right.
And everybody's getting mind fucked right now.
Searching Twitter. How fucked is BTC? What?
Yeah, dude. There's always a fucking space happening on ordinals. Look, right now. There's one happening right now. The mind fuck is happening. It's real, dude.
Fuck Ordinals is the name of the space. Can they hear us? No.
Is my impersonator only has 66,000 followers? Are you kidding me? The disrespect! 66? Bro, I hosted a week of spaces just to celebrate 100K. Like, am I insignificant to you?
They're going crazy.
Do I not?
They're going crazy. These motherfuckers. Everybody's going nuts right now. Hyper Bitcoinization mode is on, and BTC became a beautiful art gallery, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? The small blocker narrative is dead, and real Bitcoin, people are going to recognize what real Bitcoin is. And let's keep talking about real Bitcoin, yeah?
This is wild. Okay, yeah.
All right. Should we talk to him live? No,
do it. Yeah,
yeah,
do it.
Talk to him live.
Go for it. Ask them how they like Bitcoin becoming an art gallery.
But these are all BTC people. They probably are like, I don't talk to them.
Oh, okay.
They're all just, this is the mindfuck crowd. This is not my boys. My boys, we know what's up.
Right, but those are the guys that are going to be pissed off, right?
Not really sure what's up with that.
I mean, I see a lot of Ethereum people in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
it's all good.
We can do a space later, fuck it. But let me keep telling you about the real Bitcoin and what put you guys ahead of the fucking game. Ready? So, how do you build on-chain open source interoperably? What to build? You have to have the dopamine positive addiction through Pooh's proof of work, the on-chain order lock so that FTX never happens again, and Boost POW and so what was the other one? Oh fuck. Order lock open so for the on-chain exchange. Okay, so how to execute zero sat initiative. Number two, no delay in minting, so the post is the mint. And number three, bidding happens automatically on-chain. So you create something on-chain. Okay, let's say you're an artist. You have no money, right? But you create something really fucking cool, dude, right? Really fucking cool. And I come in and I say, well, dude, I'll give you one Bitcoin for it, one BSV, take it. As soon as I buy your art, automatically... The rest of the world has the option to bid for that art, or whatever you just sold. Mm-hmm. It could be your time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're like a very awesome dude that everybody loves, and like you're like a guru, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're selling your time. Each NFT that you sell is like 1 hour of your time.
Okay.
So I just bought it for one, but then, oh my God, I was the first one to know, so I bought it for one Bitcoin. Everybody in the world, since you're so fucking popular, they want your time. They want to sit down with you and talk to you. Everybody's going to be like, fuck, man, I'll give you two Bitcoins for that hour of his time. Bidding is automatically on-chain. It happens automatically on-chain. All so right. that's the future, bro. So again.
And somebody's devving that into BSV?
Yeah, it's already happening right now.
Okay.
All right. It's just this whole Ordinals thing kind of.
Well, this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So again, zero sats initiative. The posting is the mint, and bidding happens automatically for all digital assets owned on-chain. Oh, and this obviously will have optional anonymity features because for these applications, because let's say I own a bunch of NFTs or whatever on-chain, and I'm like, dude, I'm in a financial pinch. I got to sell these now, so maybe I want to lowball them, and then maybe I don't want people knowing that I'm in a financial pinch or whatever, so I want to be a little anonymous about that, right? You know, just sell them cheap, right? And everybody bidding, you know, they'll probably get a good deal, right? I can do limited time offers as well. So
okay, so these people think that the Ordinals thing is mainly like NFTs, like they're actually just making it an art gallery. They don't seem, none of the reports I'm scrolling through are saying that it's some sort of anti-small block activism.
Because that's because they're dumb, bro. People, they're behind. Okay, people.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's where the internet is right
people
now.
People in life, the human being, hates being told what to do.
And the images are stored on chain,
yeah,
not just like linked to IPFS or anything.
On chain.
Okay. That's how you fill up the 4 meg.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
People need to. Human nature. People want to like come to figure out shit for themselves. Yeah, you know, people will never give you credit for like, oh, dude, I figured this out because of you. Well, maybe if they're humble and wise and smart, but the vast majority of the masses, they want to have that experience of oh, I figured this out on my own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So people are figuring it out, and you know, it's kind of like gently we need to lead them there. But the cat's out of the bag. We killed the small blocker narrative, and we're all big blockers now. It's that simple. We're all big blockers now.
I was an OG big blocker, for the record.
Nice, bro.
11,000 NFTs minted is
yeah.
the headline I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
What did that cost? Holy crap.
Yeah, dude. Well, it started at like around $20, and then like when we were doing the Liberland thing, I don't know if you were there.
No.
In Mexico City.
Yeah.
Like the mint at the time was $20 to mint, and people were selling NFTs for 0.7 BTC.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine putting in $20 and getting paid $16,000 mm-hmm. as an artist. No fucking brainer, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and last time I checked, dude, like, this shit's being sold for 2-5 Bitcoin.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I saw some of that. All right, cool.
Yeah, dude, so it's a... okay, the last thing is...
Yeah, hit it.
How would the UI UX of these new applications work? All right, how would they look? So think of the Block Explorer,
mm-hmm.
but no longer is a Block Explorer just financial transactions. It's a marketplace.
So you can have opcodes for bidding and transferring,
dude.
And all this stuff in
yes.
BSV.
Yeah, Satoshi gave us all of these things. It's just that these assholes called small blockers kept us away from all of these. We could have had
How long until we get these opcodes and stuff?
It could be like, it's already here.
Oh, you already have them in
We've
BSV.
We've been having them since...
In BSV.
Since Bitcoin. Since January 3rd, 2009, this was possible.
Okay.
Okay, do you understand the shit that we've been going through as Bitcoiners now? Since January 3rd, 2009, we've had all of these capacities, and these lizards came, and they told us that Bitcoin was this fucking thing that is nothing but a digital gold, that it has no utility other than HODL, and that you need to just give
it
some crutches called the Lightning Network.
You don't need protocol changes to
No,
to do
dude. Satoshi gave us everything, dude.
All right. Okay.
In spite of it being the first, the original design is still the best for a global marketplace on chain, for a truth machine that can never be censored, and for it to be the book that they can never burn. Okay? We live in the world of fake news, of a lot of noise, of social media, of censorship, right? Bitcoin is the way out. Satoshi knew that. Satoshi knew that the biggest shit that we're dealing with is not... The Fed, sure, Fed's a big problem, but it's these fucking giants in big tech that monopolize our information and use it against us. And he gave us the means, the way out, even to fix the Fed, to fix all that, because even they themselves are tech companies now. Banks are tech companies. That's every bank is a tech company now.
So the UI is the Block Explorer with, you know...
Yeah.
UX that will allow you to interact with the chain in these ways, like bidding and stuff like that.
In the future, think of what you're going to be seeing is the chain of digital signatures is the chain of digital ownership or representation of ownership of everything in the market.
Hmm.
That you, if you want to put it up there, you could.
Okay.
Isn't that fucking cool?
I'm going to put this podcast on there.
Please do.
Can we do it?
I can do it. If you put it on YouTube, I can do it today. Like right now. I can show you how to do it. We'll put it on Powstream.com, which is taking the entire YouTube catalog of videos and storing them on the original Bitcoin protocol design and boost categorizing it using Bitcoin energy.
All right.
Yeah. So that's what's up, man.
Last word? I'll give it to you. What do you want to say?
Peace, love, anarchy.
That was my line. No, that's good. Thank you, sir.
All right, man.
Appreciate
pleasure.
It.
All
Have right. a good one.
What up, Vigilantes? I am on my way to go speak to
the business association of this whole area of Acapulco called Bonfield, where we have Anarchapulco. We're going to set them up with crypto. So all these people, all these businesses are going to become merchants, crypto merchants. So very excited about that. I'm actually walking there right now. So at the end of Anarchapulco, I felt compelled to give a workshop. And it was really two workshops in one. One, it was on the topic of AI and how to respond to it as the crypto community. And we gifted you guys the tools, so open source, so you can learn more about how to respond to AI using proof of work. And the second topic of the conversation is how can we onboard up hundreds of millions of users overnight into the crypto space? And that has already been solved. So go to this description. This information needs to get out. In my opinion, is probably the two most pressing issues of our time that are really, you know, come down to just one issue. We need to reach hyper-cryptotization before AI takes over. And we have the tools. So we really want you guys to click in the description and watch this workshop. I did it at the end of Anarchapulco. After everything was done, I just felt compelled. I felt called to do it. In my opinion, it's the most badass workshop that I've ever given, because it has to do with what is, in my opinion, the two biggest issues in our time. AI and fixing the crypto onboarding problem. Both wrapped in one. You guys got to watch it. I can't stress enough how important this workshop is. We're giving it away for free. So just sign up below, watch the workshop. This actually was a 3.5-hour workshop, and we broke it down to, there goes a puppy. And after editing, it was like an hour and 30 minutes. So we trimmed the fat for you, and I hope you enjoy it. Peace, love, anarchy. Bye.